from the pen of the Apostle Paul, a challenge to let our light shine in the darkest of times, realizing that in the midst of our weakness, His grace is sufficient. A letter to the saints in Corinth, defined by three words: trust, treasure, triumph. Welcome to our verse-by-verse study of 2 Corinthians as we learn to stand for truth while empowered by the grace of God.
We'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 today, in verses 7 through 10, as we are in the last five messages in this book that we have themed Trust, Treasure, Triumph. Each of those three T words are found in this book, and they all have a very important meaning to us. The other series that we did on 1 Corinthians was also three T words: trouble, 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 all the same word, but it was because that was the state of the church. I thank God for this church that we don't have to be labeled trouble, trouble, trouble. We just have one or two troubles around here. No, we are a lot more like the other churches that Paul had a lot of praise to say about. And Corinth was coming around. They were listening. You know, I really think that's the key in life, is to listen, and don't be so stubborn, and listen to the Lord, listen to the Spirit, listen to the godly people that are around you, and listen to them, and you'll learn a lot if we'll start to listen. But we're going to hear from a man who we had already heard a lot of his life was hard. And it was hard not just kind of because it was. It was because he decided to go forth for God and serve God in a very forthright and unusual way, the Apostle Paul. And because of that, because of the length he went to bring the gospel to the lost, he suffered a lot. And that's what we learned about. He wasn't bragging. He was kind of forced into having to give his list, his credentials, if you will. And his credentials were actually, I was beaten, I was whipped, I was left for dead after being stoned and shipwrecked, and all of these just unbelievable things. And as we just returned from a trip to Africa, I found myself at one hotel, our first hotel. It was the best hotel that we could possibly be in the area we were in. But the shower was a drip. It was just a drip. And it had a little hot water heater on the wall. It was just to show. It's just for show. You know, they have those security cameras that are just fake, you know, just to scare people away. Well, that had no heat. It might have added some cold to the water. I don't know. But, you know, and I'm sitting there going, you know, I need a shower. Well, maybe that was my wife telling me that. I don't know. But and then you start to think, well, come on, this is so silly. This is, you know, these people all that we're going to be talking to don't have this nice of a place to stay in. And so when you start to think about what the Apostle Paul went through, it really makes it should make us a little embarrassed about how easy we have it. And also should make us wake up to the fact that we better be a good steward of the blessings God has given us. And we better be reaching the world, reaching our neighbors, reaching the world with the gospel. That's why we're here. And we're going to talk about some of the pain that Paul went through. The last time we talked in 2 Corinthians, it was about his amazing vision of heaven. Remember, we talked about heaven and what heaven's going to be like and how amazing it's going to be. And no matter how bad it seems here, you have a glorious future awaiting you if you know Christ as Savior. But because of that amazing vision that he had, God also had to give him what he termed the thorn in the flesh. So we're going to deal with that today, and we're going to learn a lot today about pain and about why I hurt. That's the main theme of today's message, is why do I hurt? And sometimes it is because just things do happen. Sometimes it's a result of serving the Lord. And sometimes it's because of stupidity. It's because of dumb things we do. Let's start with that. I was reading a story, and it said, a mayor from Southern California proposes. And I'm like, okay, they're going to ban soda, or straws to drink your soda, or they're going to ban common sense. They're going to ban something, right, in Southern California. And I kept reading. I'm like, wait a second. He actually has something here. He proposes. His name is Rex Paris. R. Rex Paris. He's mayor of a town in Southern California. He wants to ban workplace rules that require neckties. Amen? He said he was reading a blog that said that neckties can restrict your blood flow by 7.5%. And we need all the blood we can get, men, up here. And now you women are starting to understand this a little bit more. You know, if you feel like we're a little dense, well, it's the necktie. And for some reason, we think this is important when we dress up to put a tie on. Now, less and less are doing it, but it's still, I mean, you know, when the president speaks to the nation, he's got a tie. Anyone running for office at their debates, they have a tie. All the newscasters have a tie, you know, and it's going to be a long time till we can throw the noose away. And so, but I was very impressed with him, and I would certainly vote for him unless he had some other issues in his life. But man, I really like that. I really like that. Coming up with a ban on workplace rules requiring ties. But pain, physical or emotional, is really no laughing matter. And although some pain is caused by our poor choices, much of life's pain is just something that God is allowing that will make us better. And we just have to kind of understand it and learn from it. And we will do that today. So let's read through these verses and then we'll go back and parse them. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I tell you what, if you are hurting, these are balm for you. This is great medicine today. And I know many of you are, for many different reasons. It could be a health issue. It could be you just lost a parent, a child, a friend, a neighbor. You're just dealing with some sort of depression or job situation. Whatever it is, we go through human suffering. And even after I'm done preaching today, it's still going to remain a mystery, because it always will be mysterious, because we can trust the Lord, but often he's not going to tell you why. I think one day you'll know why. And there's a reason he doesn't tell you why. I'll try to get to it today. There's a good reason why he doesn't tell you why. But you know it's going to happen. You know that it is, some of it's a result of original sin in the garden. When Adam and Eve sinned, we have this cycle of decay and death, and our bodies are going to face that, and we're going to face diseases and old age and different things. We also have sin that is being committed by other people that could hurt us and harm us, or just something that God allows in our life. But either way, we're going to find ourselves in this thing called pain. If you're not in it right now, there will be a time in your life when you will face it. And this passage will help us understand it a little bit more. And my prayer is, allow us to trust the Lord a whole lot more in the middle of that pain. So let's look at five things that we'll be able to find in the midst of pain. Number one, pain can help us stay humble. That was what the verse said, right? Lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, I don't know that Paul thought that right away when he first got this problem. We don't know what the problem is. I'll talk about that more in a second. But he did figure it out. The reason the Lord allowed it, didn't take it away, was so that he would not get exalted above measure. Let's say Paul had gotten exalted above measure. God gave this incredible revelation to him. I mean, no one else had seen what he had seen. And he gets proud. And he's boastful. And it's so easy. It's so easy. One of the biggest things that we try to teach our young men at Dayspring, or really all of our students, is humility. Why? Because the more you start to learn, the more you start to think you've learned a lot and you are really knowledgeable. One of the reasons Dad started Dayspring Bible College, because he was tired of people going off to other colleges and coming back smarter than him. No one was smarter than him, but they thought they were. Well, that's pride. Pride. Bible college is important. You're going to learn a lot, but you don't really learn until you live it, right? Especially in ministry. So pride. We've seen it over and over. I've seen it over and over. Just seen it recently. Pride just does things to people and they don't see it. So this thorn in the flesh that God allowed in his life made sure it kind of popped the pride balloon. And it was hard. It was a really hard thing for Paul to have to endure. But it said, lest I should be exalted of measure. He got it. He understood that this was something that God did not take away. He allowed. God didn't necessarily do it to him, but God allowed it to happen to him and didn't take it away. Because, and it said it twice, right in the verse, at the beginning and at the end, it said the same thing. Lest I should be exalted above measure. This messenger of Satan, this thorn in the flesh. What does this word thorn mean? And what was the thorn in the flesh? Well, first of all, the word thorn actually has this idea of a sharp stake. Okay? I was reading the story of King Angus in Ireland, and St. Patrick was there evangelizing, and he wanted to be baptized, and so St. Patrick was said to have had this staff with a really sharp point at the bottom. He would kind of stick it in the ground, and he'd be doing other things, and he'd pick it back up, and he'd kind of use that. Well, as he was baptizing King Angus, he didn't realize it, but he stabbed King Angus's foot. And the king said nothing. He just was silent in this. And after the ceremony was done, St. Patrick looked down and saw blood all over and blood coming out of his foot. He realized what he had done. He said, King, why didn't you say something? I stabbed your foot. You didn't say anything? And the king said, yeah, I thought it was part of the ritual. Well, I tell you, we have the Lord Jesus Christ, who was silent. He suffered silently on our behalf so that we might have a great thing in the future. And we have to remember that even though there might be a thorn in your flesh, something that God will allow in your life, sometimes we must also suffer in silence as our Savior did, realizing that it's for our good and realizing it's for God's ultimate glory. Remember that. What is the messenger of Satan? Well, it could be Satan himself. It could be a messenger Satan sent. Either way, it was something that seemed to be that initiated from the devil. And by the way, we find that in Scripture, right? We find that in Job. We find the story of a godly man who put his trust in the Lord, who was really blessed of God, and Satan was accusing God of Job's loyalty was because God was blessing him and said, okay, God said, I'll allow you to take away his blessings and let's see what he does. And God allowed it. God didn't cause it, but God allowed it. And I believe something very similar was happening here. It's funny. What the devil intends to harm you and to stop you, God can take that and flip it, and it still feels terrible to us, but if we'll trust the Lord, God is going to do great and mighty things from it. If we don't trust the Lord, we probably are still going to have this problem, And no one's going to be blessed and God's not going to be glorified and we're going to be damaged. So you have two options here as a Christian. You will suffer. Not a really encouraging sermon today, is it? You're going to suffer. Our song leader, Pastor John Tanney today, filling in for our music pastor who's on vacation. He said, and the song was, "We'll Soon Be Home." And he said, we're soon going to die. And I'm thinking, what does he know that I don't know? You know, we're soon going to die. But we are. And in reality, our life really isn't that long. Even if you live another 80 years, that's pretty soon in compared to eternity. But I tell you what, we have these things that God will allow in our life, and it's going to make us so much better than if we hadn't, if it hadn't happened at all. So how do we learn from this when we're going through these trials? Well, that's going to help us. It's going to help us. What one way is keep us humble. God controls the devil. The devil can't do anything that God doesn't allow, but sometimes God allows him to buffet us. Did you see that word buffet in our verse? You know, that word is the idea of a repeated hit. So when you're buffeting, it's not just once. It was a repeated thing. So whatever it was reoccurring. It wasn't just something that happened once. It was something that reoccurred in his life. And that is something that God used in his life to keep him humble. So pain can help us stay humble. Number two, pain can help us seek the Lord. Look at verse 8. "For this thing I besought the Lord." He went to the Lord with it. You know, let's say the Lord did not allow this in his life. And Paul started to drift away from the Lord. And what would we have today? Would we have all the blessings that he has given us today with the scriptures, with the gospel to the Gentiles? All the blessings that he has given. He besought the Lord. It kept him close to the Lord. He asked the Lord three times. You know, that shows dependence, doesn't it? It shows that you know that God is in charge. And you know that he has your best intention at his heart. And that's something really hard to stay in the front of your mind when you're in pain, when you're going through a hardship, a physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever it is, because you have a tendency of one of two things, to flee or to get closer to him. And I hope that you're getting closer to him, because that's the desire of his heart, is for you to be close to him. Why? Because then he can help you, he can guide you, he can steer you, he can bless you. If you're moving away from him because of a trial, then you're not seeking the Lord, and then he can't help you. He wants to help you. He wants to be a blessing to you. And so Paul besought the Lord three times. Pain will help us seek the Lord. There was a story of a dental office, and there was a patient that called and said, "You know, I'm going to be about 15 minutes late. Is that okay?" And this had happened before, and the receptionist was a little frustrated, but also a little witty. She said, "Sure, that's fine. We just won't have time to administer the anesthesia." He actually arrived early for that appointment. Why does God not reveal the why? You know, we always want the reason. Why? Why? I'll tell you in a second. Just remind me to come back to that. I've got jet lag, okay? So if I'm skipping around a little bit, it's the jet's fault. I was in our house a few years ago. My wife was home. Libby was home. That was our boxer. We have one boxer in heaven and one boxer in hell. No, just kidding. That's funny, isn't it? It's actually true, but this was Libby. And out of the fireplace, I just lit it for the first time in the fall, out crawls a teeny little bat. Must have been having a nice summer in our chimney, and the smoke somehow sent it down and in to the house. And I knew that if I said to Karen and Libby, "There's a bat in the house," all hell would break loose. And so I said, "Karen, take Libby and go into the laundry room and shut the door and don't ask questions. You know what she said? Why? I said, honey, just please, for one time. No. Please, honey, take the dog and go into the laundry room. Tell me why. Okay. There's a bat in the house. Bat in the house! And then the dog's now going crazy and the bat's going crazy. Well, we got the bat out of the house. We got the dog, you know, calmed down and everyone was calmed down. Why do we want to know why? That's just what we want to know. We don't want to just do it. We want to know why we're doing it, right? That's how I am. We were with some wonderful people in Africa and they would, you know, say, well, this is what we need to do. And I would always say, okay, that's great. Why is it that we have to do it that way? And they're just like, well, because that's how we do it in Africa, you know, crazy American. So we always want to know why. So why does God not always tell us the reason? Or actually, rarely does he tell us the reason ahead of time. And I think it is this, because we couldn't handle the pain all at once. You know, if you know all the things you're going to have to go through today, I have a feeling we'd all hang it up and say, there's no way. I cannot do that. I quit. You know, forget it. So he doesn't always reveal. And it's for our good. It's for a good reason. You know, the Bible is very clear that God is the potter. We are the clay. In Togo, we went to a souvenir area. And they were literally making the pots by hand. They had clay and they had a wheel and they were spinning it and they were making it. And I thought, you know what? The Bible in Isaiah 64 verse 8 says, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay. Thou art the potter. We all are the work of thy hand. And do we really understand that? We really get that? Do you think the potter is, the clay is looking up at the potter and saying, why, you know? No, the clay has no right to ask why. Just submit to the hand of the artist as he's taking something that was just a lump in the ground and making it something useful and beautiful. Just let him do what he needs to do. But we have to know why. He doesn't tell us why for a very good reason. Because we'd freak out. Or we would skip the dentist appointment altogether. When we need to go through that and it's going to help us and it's going to make us better and it's going to give him glory. I'm not saying that you can never ask why. I'm just saying be satisfied if he doesn't answer exactly the full reason. And you might know it one day. You will know it one day, but you might not know it today. Look at Romans 8. And we can't have a sermon about this without going to Romans 8, 28 and 29. And we know, well, how do we know? By experience. We know that all things, good, bad, and otherwise, all things work together for good. Not all things are good. Cancer's not good. Cancer's terrible. Some of you are going through it. It's horrible. I hate it. But even that can be good. Why? Well, it says it here. To them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Purpose is a key component in life. If you believe God is allowing something in your life for a goal, for a purpose, suddenly you can accept it. You can just say, okay, I know he's doing this for good, for my good, for my benefit, for other people's benefit, for glory, for his own glory. I'm going to be able to handle this more. You know, getting through trouble in life is often more about attitude than about anything else. It really is. So there's purpose in these things that God allows in our life. For 29, for whom he did foreknow. Who did he foreknow? He foreknew those that would receive the gospel, believe the gospel, be saved. He also did predestinate, not to be saved or lost. He predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. So these things that he's allowed, these thorns in the flesh of your life, you know why? We don't know what it is. And I tell you, if you read the commentaries, and I do, I read a lot of commentaries, this one has about 20 different ailments listed. And some are physical. Some are, evil men were coming against them. Some were, emotional problems. And I agree with every one of those things. It probably very well could be, but we don't know. And the reason is, I think, because now you can have a blank line there and you can put your thorn in the flesh there. I really believe that's why he doesn't just say it. It's his eyesight. It's his headaches. People have all these different speculations about it. Why don't we know? Because it doesn't matter. It's whatever it is, and it could be people opposing you. It could be a physical ailment. It could be whatever. It's a thorn in the flesh that God has allowed in your life in order to fulfill a purpose, to be conformed, kind of the clay analogy again, to be formed to the image of his son. His son is perfect. His son is the King of kings and Lord of lords. We're going to rule and reign with him. Why wouldn't we want to be conformed to his image? So this process is conforming us to the image of Christ. And this pain that he's allowing will help us to seek him and to allow him to do what he's going to do and what he needs to do in our life. We need to hurry. I don't know. Is it me or is it you? Am I not preaching fast enough? Or are you not listening fast enough? I tell you what, I really loved two Sundays ago. I preached. There was a 5-hour church service. Now, I didn't love the 5-hour church service, but I got to preach two sermons during that church service. I got done. I sat down. They sang a few more songs. And they said, now Pastor Scudder's going to come up and preach another sermon. OK, let's go. So that's what I'm used to. Number three, you guys are in trouble today. You're not leaving this place. Number three, pain can showcase God's grace. Look at verse 9. He said unto me, my grace. God's grace. We talk about grace all the time. Why? Because it really is amazing. God's grace. It's like, how could he possibly love us? We're rebels. We're of no value to him. But he made us in the image of God. He made us different than any other plant or creature. None of those have souls, but we have souls. We are eternal beings. We are like God in many ways. We are not God. We never will be God, but we will be like him in many ways. Do we really want to know the Lord? Now we say, yeah, I really want to know him. No, no. Do you really want to know Jesus? Okay. Then you must suffer like he did. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. We're talking about an intimate knowledge of him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. That is how we can know him. Those ways. The fellowship of his suffering, conformable unto his death. So spiritual and physical pain that Jesus bore on the cross led to victory for him. And therefore, the same type of suffering can lead to victory for us in our lives. In Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy. I circled that word, the joy. You know, he's going through the worst pain in the entire universe. I don't care what you're going through. It is minuscule compared to the physical torture he went through. Bones out of joint. He had been whipped. He was dying of asphyxiation. His mouth was dry. He had been mocked. It was unbelievable, the physical pain he was going through. And that was nothing compared to the spiritual pain of having to become sin. All of the bad things you've ever done, whether you don't even know about some of the things that you've done that were sinned. He took upon himself all of that times millions for the joy that was set before him. He endured that, the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And if we will be conformed to the image of Jesus, we will reign with him as well. And we can also have joy in the midst of our suffering because of God's grace. The date was February 15th, 1921. The place was the Kane Summit Hospital in New York City. The surgeon's name was Dr. Evan O'Neill Kane. He was a distinguished doctor, 31-year career. He had performed nearly 4,000 appendectomies. How many of you have are part of the, I don't have an appendix club anymore. I know several of you are. I'm part of that club. A really proud member of that club. So he'd performed 4,000 of these. And so this surgery would probably be pretty uneventful, much like all the others have been, except for two things. This was a very unusual surgery that he was going to be performing. There was two things about this that were very unusual. The first was Dr. Kane was a proponent of local anesthesia. This was something that hadn't been done. It was always a general anesthesia. He thought it was too dangerous and it wasn't necessary. So he was a proponent of local. And a lot of physicians agreed with him, but, you know, before you can just start doing it, you have to test it. And so he needed a volunteer. And finally he found a volunteer that was willing to undergo this local anesthesia. And so they went through the surgery. Everything was flawless. The patient felt a little minor discomfort, but really no big issues. He was sewed up and was fine, released the next day, went home, and everything was fine. So the first novelty was that it was a local anesthetic. The second novelty was that he was not only the surgeon, he was also the patient. You say, wait a second, how is that possible? I thought the same thing. I guess he had set up a series of mirrors and he literally had appendicitis and he decided to test his theory on himself and he literally performed surgery on himself. You say, why would he do that? To instill confidence in future patients that this was the way to do it. Crazy, I know. Really crazy, I know. But you know what's really, really amazing? Is God in the flesh coming to die for our sins so that we can have eternal life through Him. To me, that is a lot more amazing than what Dr. Kane did. Although I don't know if I admire it or if I cringe at it. But Jesus is the great physician. But he also humbled himself unto death. And he was made like us. He lived a perfect life. He never sinned. He died the death on a cross. He became sin for us. And he was raised the third day. And anyone who puts their faith in him will not perish but have eternal life. That is a simple message of salvation. And anyone going through anything in life, the best thing you can do, the first thing you need to do is receive Jesus Christ, the great physician, as your Savior. He died for you. He rose again. Let this be sin, and all of us have it. You and I have it. This is the Lord Jesus. He was perfect. He was made sin, watch, for us on the cross, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You see what happened? We have this sin. We can't get rid of it. We're stuck with it. It separates us from God who is perfect. God in His great love, He had to satisfy His holiness. He placed it upon His own Son. He died. He rose again. He paid for that sin. And if we'll just simply believe in Him by faith, just trust in Him as our only way to heaven, we'll have eternal life. So that is the greatest news in all the world. You'll be healed from something far worse than any physical problem you're having now. And that's your sin problem. Your sin problem will send you to hell. Jesus wants to save you from hell. And all you have to do, according to the Bible, is put your faith in Him. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. Can it get more simple than that? Here's another one, Ephesians. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. I tell you what, the gift is amazing. The gift is awesome. The gift is God's grace. It's received through faith. Number four, pain can prove God's sufficiency. Look at verse 9 again. My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. You know, I heard some preachers say, if you're obeying the Lord and claiming all that you have in Christ, you will never be sick. You've heard that? You've seen the faith healers? You know why I don't believe in modern faith healers? Because modern faith healers all go to doctors and hospitals and morgues. They all do. They all get sick and die. If they really believed this, they wouldn't get sick and die, would they? And this verse here blows that out of the water. All of these modern prosperity gospel preachers that claim this stuff can't be true because Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He asked the Lord three times to take it away and God said no. So that blows all of that out of the water, doesn't it? If you're just living for God, if you really loved Him, if you had enough faith, you'll be healed. No, God doesn't guarantee you to be healed. Maybe He will. I believe He can. I believe He has. But you know what? When we ask God, let's say, God, take away this thorn in the flesh once, twice, three times. How many times are we going to keep asking Him? You know, I think three. I think baseball has got a good kind of a thing going, right? Three strikes and you're out. And I don't think this is three strikes and you're out. I just think after three times, you know, your kid keeps asking you the same thing over and over and over and over. It really gets annoying, doesn't it? I said no. I said no. I said no. You know, no is an answer. It's not the answer you want, but no is an answer. And it's the right answer if it's from God. You understand that? It's the right answer if it's from God. It's sufficient. It's fine. It's all I need. I'm going to stop asking. Why? I'm going to say like Job in 13:15. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in Him. That's the place we all need to get in the midst of these trials. To say, no, God's grace is sufficient for me. Number five, pain can help us find real strength. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then at the end of verse 10, it says, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Those of you that are going through the worst of suffering right now, this can be the moment that you're actually the strongest in your entire life. And if you really trust the Lord and you relax and you allow Him to work in your life, you're going to find a strength that is truly supernatural. Everyone's looking for supernatural powers. We want to watch supernatural action, you know, mystical people, figures. And I never really got into all that, you know. But you want to watch a guy crawl on buildings and fly and all that stuff, that's fine. And I guess, you know, entertaining or whatever. But if you want real superhuman strength, find sufficiency in God in the middle of a trial. Be satisfied that He knows what He's doing. He's not going to always tell us why, and I'm okay with that. And in that, you're going to find an amazing strength that will blow away anything that you'll ever find in the world. Let me end with a story of a woman named Elizabeth Prentice. She lived back in the mid-1800s. She was a wife of a pastor. She always had a hard life. She was sick and always had a lot of pain in her life. But the people that knew her said that she was always joyful. You would hardly ever know that she was going through the suffering that she went through. But literally her whole life, she had to deal with real serious physical problems and pain. But the joy that people saw on her finally melted away the day that within 3 months, she lost two of her children. One was an infant, one was her four-year-old, and that just crushed her. It brought her down so low that she couldn't even put a smile on anymore. And it was a hard thing for her in her life. I mean, a terrible thing for her in her life. She was just crying out to God. She could barely get up and it was just this dark cloud hanging over her. And in the midst of that, God started to minister to her. She started to trust the Lord in the midst of this. And God gave her some words. And we sing a song. We've been singing this song for over 100 years in Christianity. It's called More Love to Thee. And it goes like this. More love to Thee, O Christ, more love to Thee. Hear Thou the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea. More love, O Christ, to Thee. More love, O Christ, to Thee. More love to Thee. She talks about her pain, her suffering, the hardship of her life. And she said, this has brought me closer to Christ. I can have more love to the Savior. You know what? Can we find that in pain? It's hard, especially if you're in the middle of it. It's probably the last thing you're going to want to do, but that's the first thing we need to do. I hope that we've all seen a little bit more about why God allows certain things in our life, and God wants to bless you. God wants to make you. God wants to do something great with you. But all we really need to do is let Him and trust Him and have that spirit of dependence and to showcase to the world that we know our God is sufficient and His grace is sufficient for us. And that will literally change your life and it will literally change the world.